Exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Welcome to another episode of Life Shouldn't Hurt. I'm your host, Gran Fedoruk, and for the next 30 minutes, I have the privilege of listening to and sharing some very real life stories about lifestyle, health, and well-being with all of you amazing people. None more important than my guest today, Britt Lee Firmaniuk, who is a palliative care doctor and gets to work with patients. And I say gets to because I think it's a privilege to get to work with people at a very important stage of their life, which just so happens to be end of their life, but nonetheless is an important stage, as important as any. Welcome, Britt Lee.
Thanks, Grant. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, we're very fortunate to have you. And we're off air talking. And I think that let's start with what made you choose to be a palliative care doctor?
Well, that's a great question. I went into like medicine to essentially, I guess, make a difference. And when I was going through medical school and my residency, which my background is family medicine, I found very early on that I loved palliative care and just the philosophy and the approach to care. I got to spend time with patients and their families and get to know them. And that's why I chose palliative care. And so then I pursued that extra year and ended up where I am today.
Now, we went right into why you chose it, but what is it? I think there's probably people out there that say, you know, it's a doctor who's helps people to in their last days. But I think it's so much more than that, is it not? Because palliative care isn't just the last days.
It is definitely not just the last days. And I think that's the biggest misconception that I come across when I introduce myself as a palliative care physician is patients and families often feel that I'm there to tell them that they're dying or they're at their end of their life. And that's really just not the case. So in general, palliative care is both like a philosophy and an approach to care that focuses on improving the quality of life for patients, families, and caregivers for those diagnosed with life-limiting illnesses. Now, like the philosophy of care incorporates the values, preferences, and goals of care throughout the diagnosis from early on in a life-limiting illness right to the very end of life. So it truly is not just the end of life. We do a lot of end of life care, but we get involved earlier and earlier in patients' disease process at the moment. And evidence actually shows that when we're involved earlier, patients live longer with a better quality of life.
Isn't that amazing? And I think we've talked about it, and particularly areas around compassion and how caring and compassion in themselves are medicine, as powerful medicine as the medicine that they might be provided, like the drugs and so forth. And I can just imagine that role, that relationship that you build with these patients and their families has such a positive impact on that quality of life for them. I can just imagine early on with somebody, though, that there's probably some resistance. Can you describe what happens in those situations?
Oh, absolutely, Grant. You know, I mean, getting back to the misconceptions, because when I walk in the room, patients and families don't really even want to see me when I mention palliative care.
Right.
So I kind of take a step back and educate them on why I'm coming to see them. And then usually they're more open to a discussion. And really, I'm there to help them with their symptom management. I don't just focus on an organ system. I take the time to address all of their concerns and their symptoms, as well as the families and caregivers. And we know that physical symptoms exist, but there's lots of other components to symptoms too, right? There's psychological components, spiritual, social, emotional. And so we actually take the time to address all of these in order to formulate a plan for our patient.
What environment does that happen in? Is this outpatient? Is this inpatient? What's a day in the life of a palliative care doctor? You wake up, you make your breakfast, you get in the car or get on your bike. I don't know how you get to work. Somehow, maybe a canoe, but you get to work. And what's work? Where is work for you?
Well, at the moment, I am mostly working out of the Misericordia Hospital on a consultation basis. Now, how our team works in the morning is I get to work and I run the list with my colleague at the Grey Nuns Hospital, as well as our nurse consultant. So how we see patients is on a referral basis. So we support the inpatients at the Misericordia or the Grey Nuns Hospital and get referred by the attending physicians.
Okay, and those attending physicians can be anything from an internist to
absolutely
oncologist, whatever the actual physician overseeing their care at that time is.
Yes.
And you're working with, not on your own. Like, describe that situation, or is it at some point they must be discharged?
Right. So say a patient's admitted to the hospital.
Yep.
And they've have a diagnosis of metastatic lung cancer. Okay. And they're quite short of breath and have a lot of pain. And the attending team is trying to manage that, but they ask for my assistance. So at that point, I would go to see the patient, and whether or not their family is there, that's ideal if their family or caregiver is there. And then I go and introduce myself, and we just talk about how they're feeling and how their symptoms are affecting them and their quality of life. And I talk about their goals, their wishes, their values, and we kind of formulate a plan together and implement it in the hospital, because that's where I work out of. And then if their symptoms are well managed, then potentially they could get discharged home. It really depends on their goals of care and where they are in their illness trajectory, whether or not they're well enough to go home to get treatment, for example, for their cancer, or whether they're nearing the end of their life and I'm referred to actually do a hospice assessment.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I think people listening, because if people are like me, they're wondering a few things. One, how long? Like, is it, can this be years, or is it typically less than that? Like, what's the period of time you might follow a patient? What's the longest period of time you might follow a patient?
Well, it depends on their diagnosis.
Right.
So, you know, as I mentioned, we're getting involved earlier on when patients are diagnosed with life-limiting illnesses, and sometimes we're actually even following patients or seeing patients occasionally when they still have years of life left, because as we know is that there's more and more treatment options available, but we can't cure them. But the patients are still developing symptoms, so that's when we get involved. And a part of the Edmonton Palliative Care Program, we have a symptom control and palliative care team at the Cross Cancer Institute, and they, I know, see patients on a more longitudinal basis because they provide both inpatient care to the patients at the Cross Cancer and on an outpatient as well. Uh-huh. So they're seeing patients a lot longer than we are, especially in acute care, because we just see patients when they're admitted to the hospital.
Right. We're talking with Brit Lee Fermaniak, a palliative care doctor here in Edmonton, and providing just important part of our system that I've talked about regularly on this show, because we all share in common this one thing, and that's that one day we will face the end of our life. And just as important portion of that life is how we live those last days. And I think the palliative care portion of it is just as important. I guess that brings me to another question that I'm sure people are willing to ask, or I would love to ask, and that's that this seems to be something that would be hard emotionally on somebody. What does that look like for you? How do you deal with that?
You're right. Every single time that I walk into the room to talk to patients, I mean, I can't imagine what they're going through and what their families are going through. And it's very emotional for them and for me too, because I'm listening to them and I'm trying to help them as best as I can to improve their symptoms and quality of life. And I think that's what I focus on, Grant, is that yes, the situation, it is really, it's very sad, and what they're experiencing, again, I can't imagine, but why I do what I do is to to make a difference and to provide the patients and their families with improved quality of life. And however I can help, that's what I do.
That's why I started to do it.
And that's what it brings me joy. And it's a privilege to be involved in these patients and families' care. And I really love what I do.
I can tell. I can't wait because I want to talk about the Edmonton Zone Palliative Care Program when we come back after the break. We're talking with Dr. Firmaniak, Brittley Firmaniak, a palliative care doctor, right here on the Chorus Radio Network.
Exploring what can be done to help with pain and health challenges. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt with Gran Fedoruk from Leading Edge Physiotherapy on 630 CHED.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and welcome back after the break. This is Life Shouldn't Hurt. I'm your friendly neighborhood physiotherapist from Leading Edge Physiotherapy, Grant Fedoruk. And remember, you too can share your ideas, stories, life experiences, and feedback with me on Twitter at Leading Edge PT. Today, we're talking about a very important topic, and that's palliative care with Dr. Firmaniak, Dr. Brittley Firmaniak. And when we left off, we were talking about the amazing work she's doing with patients who are facing end-of-life decisions and that period of time where really it's about living, mm-hmm. those last days. And there's a program here in Edmonton, the Edmonton Zone Palliative Care Program. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. Yeah, we have an amazing program here in Edmonton that's actually world-renowned, Grant, and we have a very strong academic component in research and education. And it was founded in 1995 by Dr. Eduardo Barrera, and essentially the program is aimed to provide specialist palliative care support to patients all over the Edmonton zone. Now, just as a side note, we do a lot of research, and we're known nationally and internationally. And we also have a lot of research tools which have our name on it, such as the Revised Edmonton Symptom Assessment System. And that's used on a day-to-day basis by our program and a number of programs actually worldwide.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's
feather in the cap. Edmonton's known for a lot of amazing things, and just one more medical thing that we're known for.
Yeah. So in regards to our program, we have a very specialized unit, which I think you're familiar with at the Grey Nuns, called the Tertiary Palliative Care Unit. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the only unit in, well, Northern Alberta that we as palliative care physicians are attending physicians. It's a very special unit, and I kind of like to call it the ICU for palliative care patients, mm-hmm. Because we provide both medical care and comfort care, depending on what their goals and wishes are, for very complex symptoms, as well as provide psychosocial support. And we have an amazing multidisciplinary team. They're including, we have occupational therapists, physiotherapists, we have our chaplain, we have a music therapist, we have a psychologist, we have our pharmacist, we have our dietitian, and our amazing nursing staff.
Right. So really wrap around. I mean, if you're on site, it's all there and available, not quite 24/7, but I'm sure 7 days a week.
7 days a week, yes. And I've actually had the privilege to work on our unit as well. And it's an amazing place to be. It's kind of like an oasis in the hospital. And in order to go to our unit, the patients have to be seen by one of my colleagues, whether that's in another acute care facility or at home, and be referred to the unit.
Yeah, and my experience there was, I faced this with my own dad some now 15 years ago, and he was in that unit, which is why it's such a important topic for me to want to get out there and have these conversations around, because until you face it or until it's around you, which it inevitably will be, we don't necessarily know how to deal with it. It's a difficult situation. The psychosocial component is huge. But just as important are those decisions that need to be made. Mm-hmm. And the palliative care team and the nurses and doctors are so instrumental in helping the families and the patients through those decisions, and obviously played an instrumental role in, you know, how my dad went through that experience and did it with dignity, mm-hmm. and courage and even a smile, most days anyways. Mm-hmm. And my hat's off, obviously, to the team there. Got a little tear coming in my eye because it was such a positive experience at the same time as obviously a negative one because you lose a loved one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the role that the palliative care team plays is so instrumental in those days. I know you have advice for people out there that are going through this. And I would love to hear some of that. I see your eyes getting wider and wider, but I've got to believe it's got to be around decisions, making decisions early, you know, being somewhat prepared. Those are things that now I wish, you know, we weren't dealing with so haphazardly.
Oh, I mean, that's a great question, Grant. And I guess my advice to anybody facing a life-limiting illness is to, yes, have these conversations with their medical providers and as well as their family, because their families and their caregivers need to know what their wishes are moving forward, because things can change very quickly. And I find that a lot of the time these conversations are not had, or their wishes aren't kind of divulged to their family. And then we're in situations where we're having to talk to family members and having to make decisions for them.
And it's hard on the family because now they're trying to make decisions without maybe all of the information. And I think that's an important one. And it's everything from DNR to the power of attorney and things like that. And we're not here to get into that on this show. That's another show altogether. But I think we have talked about it. Mm-hmm. The importance of having these conversations early, even in our youngness, is that a term? I still consider myself somewhat young, but making sure that our families and loved ones are aware of what those wishes might be, because they could come on at any time, unfortunately. And I think it just makes it so much, not easy, there's nothing easy about it, but certainly takes one of the variables off the table that's been already discussed, or it's at least an open forum and it's comfortable to have that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're referring to as well, like a personal directive. And,
right.
And that designates a medical decision maker should the patient lose the capacity to make those decisions. And as well, like, as you mentioned, DNR, we call them goals of care here in Alberta. And those are really important conversations to have about what the patient's wishes are, if should things change. And I know that you and I talked about it, but I even have a personal directive. So I think it's important to talk about at any stage of your life.
And I'm learning something every day, because I'm speaking of terms that were probably used 15 years ago, and I'm not working in that area. So unless it impacts you, you don't even know the terminology. And I love that term so much better, by the way, much better than DNR. We won't even say what DNR stands for. Now, how about hospice and the locations for hospice here in Edmonton?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So kind of getting back to our program, as I mentioned, we provide specialist palliative care service to all of the acute care facilities on a consultation basis. We also have the community team, which goes to patients' houses or facilities to see patients on a referral basis by the family physicians. And ultimately, we also do referrals to hospice. So hospices are specialized palliative care units for patients at the final short months, days, hours of life. And now there's 6 locations of hospices here in Edmonton under our program. We have one downtown, the Edmonton General. We have Norwood right across from the Royal Alec. We have St. Joseph's on the south side. And then we have one in Stony Plain, St. Albert, and Fort Saskatchewan. Now, in order to be a candidate for a hospice palliative care unit, we do have to foresee life expectancy to be less than 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. Their goals of care are comfort focused. So we're really treating the patient's symptoms based on how they're appearing rather than the numbers on paper, like by doing blood work. So we really, right. We don't do blood work. We don't do investigations. We don't do artificial nutrition. Uh-huh. We really focus on the patient's quality of life for the remainder of their time and supporting the patient's families and caregivers going through this. And so we as palliative care specialists have to see the patients and make, I guess, a recommendation that they would be a candidate for these units. And then the patients and family members give us what location they would want to go to, and they get put on the waiting list, and then they can go to one of these facilities for the remainder of their time. And they're very unique units. You get your own room. There's 24-hour nursing care, and it just kind of takes the burden off the families to be the caregivers, for example, at home, and then they can just be the family members in these facilities.
And you're making your own difference right here at in this wonderful city of ours. Thank you for your time sharing your own stories and teaching and inspiring a community so that our communities can be healthy and vibrant. And of course, you're such an important part of that. Thank you, Dr. Britt Lee Vermaniak, for your time today. And thank you, everybody, for listening to us here on Life Shouldn't Hurt, because really, that's what it's all about. Until next week, everyone, I'm Grant Fedorik. I appreciate your time and trust.